I do believe in the power of our mind and thoughts. And if we change our thoughts, we can change our entire life. And I'm so excited to bring in a mindset and life coach, Rai Berger, today. And we talk about how changing her mindset has brought a passion job she's doing right now and the adventurous life she's living. I have to warn you though, it's not just changing the thinking from I don't want to have this job to a kind of thought of I want another job. This is not going to take you there. No, you'll need to do the work and take an action every single day. And to start with, you can try journaling or doing something that really makes you happy. And we talk about it on today's episode. This is a Non-Cool People podcast, and I'm your host, Kat. Enjoy, cool listener.
How to introduce yourself to someone who has never heard about you?
It's a good question because lately I have been to more networking events and obviously it's in a business capacity. So let's go with that one. So I usually say, hi, my name is Ray and I work with women that have decided to start their own service-based businesses and want to leave their 9-to-5 or day job. So that is my line in a networking capacity. It would depend really on the person that is opposite me and what kind of story of my life I can relate to what they are sharing.
Mm-hmm. Okay, I understood your professional side of you. Tell me a little bit about who is Ray in her personal life.
Ooh, that's a very good question. I think I'm an memory collector and experiences junkie.
That's a nice answer.
Yeah, because I'm definitely one of those people that collects memories and experiences more than things. It's always, where can we go? What can we do? What can we try? Oh, we haven't tried that one. Let's go and see, or let's go explore. And it doesn't matter whether that is a closest park that we haven't yet been to, or that is a different continent or different mm-hmm. country. So it's just the experience that I'm after and I really like. Yeah. One of the latest ones that I did was parasailing. I think, you know, when you're strapped at the back of the boat in the air. So with like a massive parachute type of thing. Mm-hmm. So that was my latest one that I tried. I really enjoyed it. But yeah, so I would say I'm a memory and experiences collector.
Adventurous.
Yeah,
this is kind of the feeling you gave me. You are adventurous in your personal life. In your professional life, you are life coach and mindset coach. Am I correct? Mm-hmm. This is correct, combination of words. And you've said you help women who want to quit their job to start a service-based business. What is the direction of this service-based business usually?
So usually it is something that is not product. You know, for example, the clients that I used to have and have at the minute are more in the coaching therapy industry. So it is something that you can do online. You not necessarily need to meet face-to-face. I've had sessions with people who have started they were dog behaviorists, so basically a dog trainer. So I had quick coaching sessions with people that have started their service-based business also that are face-to-face, not necessarily online. But usually, yeah, it is something that you provide to solve other people's, I don't want to say problems or issues, I would say to help and enhance their life or lifestyle. So yeah, that's how.
So you're coach of coaches.
As well, yeah, coach of coaches or therapists or hypnotherapists. So yeah, actually, yeah, you can say that, yeah.
Which is fantastic because I think that every person who is on this growth path and the journey of self-development, we need to be coached by someone, or we need a person who has gone through that to kind of make our life easier, because we can, of course, do it by ourselves, but it will take much longer. Yeah. We value time so much that we don't want to waste it most of the times to make those mistakes by ourselves, but rather learn from other people's mistakes.
Yeah, so, and that's true, because it is what you find with coaches a lot of times is You can be only one step further ahead of the person that you are coaching, and you can still help them tremendously because you know how they feel in that moment. So if that is someone who just decided, I don't like something about my life, but I don't know what it is, it's a really good way how to work it out with a coach as well, because I've been there. I definitely felt that. And that was, I think, one of the first things that pushed me to try and change something in my life, where it was, I know this is not it. I know there must be more. And when I went to my job and I sit there, and although I did like the job itself, I did like the people that I was working with, but I was spending my hours there. And at the end of the day, I was like, I'm going to be back here tomorrow again. And it's like, you don't even make a difference. You feel that you're just wasting your time. That's how I felt. I just felt that I'm wasting my time here. It doesn't make any sense. And that's how I started. It was like, what is this feeling? Why do I feel like that? And that's where you start your personal development path. And when you discover, well, I'm not passionate about this one, but I really like that one. And that's where you can work with the coach. And it's, okay, how can we make it look passionate and enjoyable for you? Do you want to leave? Because I had also one of my clients, when she started to work with me, she wanted to leave her job. And then working through the week, she was like, do you know what? Actually, I quite like my day job, but I also like what I'm doing on the side. So I want to keep that as a side hustle. I don't want to leave my job. So that's also really good to kind of work with the coach, is that space for you to explore yourself and explore what do you want. Because a lot of times in society, we go by what she said, they said, but that time with your coach is just you. It's what you want, how you want it to look. And I think it's precious. It's good.
Yeah. I think it's fantastic. And what helped you the most when in that initial part of quitting and starting something or figuring out what you really truly want to do? What was one tool? Do you still remember it? Uh-huh. This was the one thing that if I wouldn't do, I probably wouldn't succeed.
Oh, there's loads of things that comes to my mind. But I think first is the decision that I want to do it. Because one thing that I realized, and that is something that it comes back again and again and again, is you have to want it. Because a lot of times it is that we are looking for someone else to tell us what's going to work in your life. And it's not working like that. It's you who have to decide that. And there is no one is coming. It's you. And I think realizing that is golden, because then that's it. You can do anything that you want. The responsibility and accountability stays with you. Yeah, I would say that mindset shift of realizing, if I'm not going to do it, it's not going to happen, is what changed it for me. Then obviously with that together comes as well being in the environment of the people that are stretching you and where you see possibilities. And another thing is, in the beginning, I didn't know what I wanted to do. I just knew that there was something in me that was like, this is not it. So I was kind of battling between, well, I want something, but I don't know what. And what I find with also my clients is that's the feeling. You know you want something, but you don't know what it is. So another mindset shift is, not always you want to know what you want to do, but you always know how you want to feel. And also go from there. So if going back, when I was sitting in the office and I think, I'm just wasting my time here. I don't want to feel that I'm wasting my time there. So what can I do not to feel that? So how can I make myself feel that what I'm doing is actually making sense to me and helping other people, and kind of go from there? So how do you want to feel? You can always go back to that.
That sounds as a very deep self-work. A lot of giving yourself questions and answer those questions and You've mentioned a few times, the important thing is a mindset shift. Because I remember myself even 1 year ago, and my mantra, now I realize it was my mantra unconsciously, was, I don't know what I want to do. I don't know who I am. And I was like, what the hell? If you don't know what you want to do, first start changing these words that repeat in a loop in your head. I don't know. I don't know. Say, I will figure it out.
Yep.
And then miracles start to happen. And then people start to appear. I don't know, whatever, in Instagram, in life, that you start to read something and to see other people. And then really those big changes happen. But if we only have these thoughts of negative self-talk, which is easy, and our brain does it to protect ourselves, right?
Of course, definitely,
stay in a comfort zone. But I think this is very powerful when you realize the shift. And I really like what you said, that you were sitting in that office and you said to yourself, I don't want to be wasting my time. But this can also be this negative self-talk. I'm just wasting my time here. And somebody might not even do anything with that.
Yeah. So that's, again, that mindset shift when you go from, I'm just wasting my time here, to actually, how do I want to feel? That is that reframing of just few sentences of, what do I want to do? How do I want to feel? I used to work with people who were in the same workplace for 25 years, and all they are waiting for is the retirement, but they're hating every single day that they are there. And then the question, what are you going to do about that? They're not going to do anything because they are just waiting for their retirement. And that's okay with them, because if that is okay, what you choose, then fair enough. If you decided that that's what you want, okay, you do that, but then don't complain that every day you don't like it. So it's then back to you again. What do you want to do? Are you okay to sit there in the office and just say, I'm wasting my time?
It's the part of taking responsibility of your life.
Yep.
And very easy. It's much easier to stay in a victim's role and say, I hate this place. I'm wasting my time here. Everybody sucks here. But it's very easy to sit there and, I'm sorry for my language, but bitch around. Instead of just saying, okay, but I am responsible for getting myself out of here, for speaking up and say, maybe just even, maybe this role is not for me. I was speaking with my manager on the podcast. I don't know if you heard that episode, Lucia Hasova. It was episode number 32. And I loved what she said about also developing talent at workplace.
Yeah,
you might have person who thinks they suck at their job just because they are doing wrong job for them. And if we don't find this, first of all, me myself, I should start with that, asking, seeking for opportunities. But also, if we have a strong, good leaders, they can help us to find that right place. And I was really happy in a corporate company working, because I always had supportive leaders, and I always found a place where I felt comfortable, where I felt I can develop my skills, where I felt I can bring value. But it really made me so upset to see so many people who are unhappy. But what makes me even more sad is that they don't do anything about that. Right?
Yeah, that's, again, that goes back to that decision, that goes back to responsibility and accountability for what you do. And yeah, it's much easier to just complain all the time and just be like, well, my life is not great because I'm wasting my time here. And then, but that goes back to, you have to decide that you don't, no longer you want to do that. And then starts the self-exploration. Because for me as well, it was, I have a daughter, she's 13 now. She just turned 13 last week. And when she was small, I remember that I was like, oh, just grow up so I have the time for myself. Just grow up so I have time for myself. And when she was starting to be like 7 or 8, she started to be more independent. Obviously, I still had to be there, but she was already more independent, so I didn't have to be with her all the time. And I found myself in a place where, ooh, I have time for myself. And then next question, what do I do now? Because for so long, I was just going to work, doing my shift how I needed to do to take care of my daughter. Then at home, I was mom, and then I was wife, and then I was friend, and then I was this. That it actually didn't leave the space for me to see or even evaluate, is this what I want to do? Is this what I like to do? Or I'm just going through the motions of my life. And I just remember, yeah, it was great that finally I had the time for myself, but it was bittersweet because at that moment I realized, what do I like to do? What do I even want to do? And that's where it all kind of stacks together. It's that self-exploration. What are your values? How do you want to live your life? Where do you want to spend your time? With who do you want to spend your time? And a lot of times we don't ask ourselves this question because we are keeping ourselves busy with society and running of the life. The busier you are, the cooler is your life. But what it is, the busier it is, the less time you have to actually think, is this is what I want? If it is, brilliant, keep going. I don't know, you can say full speed ahead and if this is what you want, amazing. But a lot of people, and especially the clients that I have talked to and women that I have met, found themselves in a position like that where you're like, I don't know what I want. I don't know what I like. I don't know who I am.
And it looks like your adventurous part of you, this adventurous personal life has helped you as well to discover, to have this curiosity, like go with the flow, but you found that moment to stop and reorganize yourself, reorganize your life.
It was like that because I realized for quite a lot of years, I was working the shift that needed to be worked because we had a daughter and between ourselves, we were in the shift so we can take care of her so we don't have to have like a nanny or support from outside. And then you were working the hours that you needed. So you're kind of drifted into the positions that allowed you to do that. And yeah, a lot of times it was just flowing. Yeah, just going with the flow and not actually having a decision. Do I want this?
Let's go back to now in your life. It sounds more positive, the life that you want to live. And describe me your perfect day rituals, because you also teach people to create their rituals. So what is your daily ritual?
Oh, that's a very good question as well. So what I have like a bunch of things that I like to do in the morning. And then when I wake up, I pick and choose what I want to do. So I have created like a list of things that make me feel good for the day. So it might be, it's journaling, it's reading, it's movement, it's meditations, it's healing, like energy work. So then in the morning, I would wake up and I feel, for example, one morning I feel really happy. So I would do my gratitude list and then I would make my breakfast and then I would go by the day. Different morning, I would think, oh my gosh, it looks really great outside. So I would go for my walk, I would do the journaling, I would get my breakfast ready, and then I would get on with my day. So what I have found that I don't have specific thing that I do every single day, but I have, like, for my morning ritual, I have found that the recipe of having the ingredients there and then picking and choosing what I need for that day works best for me. So usually I start my day with a small morning ritual. Then I am setting my daughter up for school because we take her to school. So she goes off to school. Then I have my breakfast. And then it depends what is in the plan for the day. So it might be that I have client calls booked. It might be that I will have to work like an admin tasks on my business. It might be that there is a networking event. And like for the last few weeks, it has been more busy and busy coming up to Christmas. More busier with networking events and meeting with people and doing courses. So basically what it is, I design my day and my week how I think I need to run it so I can get the outcome that I need. And then obviously we plan in the weekends and meetings with friends and things like that. So yeah, I like that now I can decide what I want in my day. And I love that feeling.
Yeah, and you've mentioned journaling. It really sounds interesting topic for me. Can you explain the benefits of journaling and how to do it correctly, if there is such a term, correct journaling?
So I don't like this right, wrong, correct, not correct, because I like to think what best suits you, because how it is good for me not necessarily will be good for you, because we all are different and obviously our all minds work differently. So, but yeah, with the journaling, I have PDF as well. If you want to download, I can send it to you as well with the prompts kind of for each week.
You have it on your website. Everybody can actually go to your website and download it. It's free, as well as you had, there's a few things for free. Actually, you have your journaling prompts for free and the perfect day ritual actually. So it's just raiberga.com freebies.
Yeah.
People
yes.
can get.
Yeah, you can definitely go on and download them there, because visualization, the perfect day exercise, it is also a really good tool. It's visualization, so you kind of create your dream day how you want it to run, but include the feelings as well there. But with the journaling, yeah, it depends what you want to get out of it. You can do it as a free write, so where you, for example, you wake up and you think, oh, I just feel really heavy in my head today, and you just write out everything that is on your mind. You can do it as a brain dump, because I remember once as well, I was like, oh, it feels really busy in my head. And I just sat down and I was like writing down the things. And at the end, I was like, it was 50 something, 52 or 53. And I was like, oh, no wonder it felt busy in my head, you know? So it kind of, it helps to free the space in your mind. Then you can do conscious journaling where you, for example, you know that you have to make a decision. So you don't know whether you want to, I don't know, for example, in your podcast, do you want to do sessions like a podcast once a week? Do you want to release it, or do you want to release it every day? And you're like struggling with that in your head. So just put it all on the paper. How it's going to look for you when you do it once a week, how it's going to look for you how when you're going to do it every day, and then see how do you feel inside and do the advantages and disadvantages and kind of look at it from the outside, because I think a lot of times we can be in our heads a lot. And when we are mulling things over in our heads over and over again, it gets busy and it might get ugly, because the more you do it, the more you spiral out with your thinking. Where when you do it on a paper, on pen and paper, when put together, it has also therapeutic meaning to it. It has a different signals in your brain. It's a different connection when you have just when you think, or when you actually put the pen to paper and write out your thoughts.
And usually those thoughts are run on autopilot. And most of the times, those are always the same thoughts. Most of the times they are negative thoughts. And if we don't realize that, don't stop them, they can really bring to destructive feelings and even emotions. So putting them on the paper is, it looks like it's first of all, observing them, noticing what is actually going on in my head. And then you can make a conscious choice to change it.
Yes, because what else with the journaling you can do? You can spot patterns, because it might be that something comes up in your life when you think, why am I always doing this? If you journal and then you look back, you're like, oh, usually if this happens, this is how I react. Usually if this happens, this is how I react. You can spot patterns really nicely, because it's there. It's not something, because we can't rely on our memory. We definitely can't rely on our memory. You think you will remember, but you don't. So when you write it out, it's the evidence in that given time. So when you are going back and you're like, oh, that again shows in my journal, that again shows in there. And you can spot the pattern, because awareness is everything. If you're not aware of the thing that bugs you, you can't really do anything about it. So spotting the patterns, exploring an issue or exploring something that is on your mind. Some people do it, you just dump out negative emotions and then you burn it. So it depends. There's loads and loads of different things how you can do it. And the benefits are, if you Google, they are endless. It's helps with anxiety, helps with improves the performance, clears your mind, mental health, goal setting, confidence, self-awareness, like it, you can just go on and on and on. What are the benefits of it? But yeah, I have an interesting story as well, because when I before I, how long have I done it now? More than a year, I think, more than a year, regularly. Obviously, there are a few days when I don't do it, or maybe a week, but then again, then I'm on it every day. And so, yeah, but in before I started, I was so skeptical of it. I was one of those people when my coach said to journal, and I was like, roll my eyes. And I'm like, if I don't know the answer when you ask me the question, how will I ever come up with an answer on the paper? But you do. Believe you me, your mind works differently when you write out. You don't think what you think. You are writing it, and things that are just coming out of you. It really has changed my opinion on journaling. That's one. Now I do it as a daily ritual that is in my ingredients of daily ritual for me. And I find it really helpful for myself as well. And I suggest it to my clients. And I used to work with one of the mindset coaches, where she said, obviously, before you hire your coach, you kind of have a discovery call, whether you can actually help that client and whether you are the right person for that client, right? And she said that with her clients, she's journaling for her is like number one thing that she does with her clients. And she said, if she comes across a person who, like me, used to roll their eyes, she's like, you're not my perfect client, because she's like so strict on journaling that's number one. You journal everything. You journal on personal, you journal on business, you journal on issues, you do the gratitude lists. It's like, but had journal, journal, journal. Get up in the morning, visualize how you want your day to look, visualize how you want your business to look, just everything, feelings, everything.
And as we are reaching the end of the year, the last month of 2022, do you have any rituals again or suggestions how we can conclude a year and start a new year the best way possible for you? Because best way possible for everyone will be different.
Yeah. For me, I think it's all about reviewing, because again, we live in a society where we run, 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 and we don't stop and take the stock of where we are. Are we actually going the direction that we want to do? So for me, I think it is just stop, breathe, and refocus, and then decide where you want to go from there. And set maybe goals that are lighting your soul on fire rather than ticking the to-do boxes or this is what I need to reach, but actually go back and what I want from next year. What do I want? Because you can start any day. You don't need end of the year or beginning of the year to change something. But yeah, I think it's stop, breathe, just count your blessings, refocus where you are, and reset your goals where you want to go.
And if you would be left just with one tool that you are using now, you have a bunch of tools in your hands, but they say, Ray, from next year, only one. You can take with you just one. Which would you choose?
Oh my God, oh my God, oh my God. To me, it goes back to mastering your thoughts. Everything goes back to mastering your thoughts. So be aware, self-awareness, be aware of your thoughts and mastering them in the way that they serve you. And they are not ruling you, but you are ruling your thoughts. And yeah, I would say that. I don't know if that answers the question, but for me, it's very important that what do you think, why do you think, and where are you going with your thinking?
I think it's brilliant, because our thinking is changing everything.
Yeah.
So
something that you said, when thoughts are going in the loop in your mind, that's what it is. A lot of times it's like, oh, nothing's changing in my life. It's because we have so many thousands, it's like 60 or some thousand thoughts. And every day we have those thoughts, and 90% of the thoughts, they are the same every day. So if you're not changing your thoughts, you're not changing your life. So to me, mastering your thoughts is just rule number one.
I'm here with you. What is your definition of a cool person?
I think, in my opinion, we all are cool people. I think everyone, every single person has something to give and something to contribute to be a cool person in their own unique way. But in my opinion, someone who has decided to live the life by their own rules, when they have decided that I am the one who decides how I want to live, and this is how I'm going to live, and I'm going to be happy every day, not only when I'm going to reach something, but I'm going to be happy every day.
You don't need a new year to start something new, but it can be a nice starting point. Most importantly, just take the first step and do it. If you enjoyed this episode, subscribe for more and share with your friends. Join me on Instagram for more backstage stories, and I see you next episode.